From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable. It's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midnight Movie Cowboys, where we just don't learn our lesson, do we? I'm Hunter Deusing in Dallas, Texas. Joining me in the wild outback of Australia is Stuart Balk. Say hello, Stu.
Yeah.
I would start off with the yeah, but you know, I worry that my voice is going to blow out. So, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And also in the Rocky Mountain High of Colorado is Mr. John Grace. Say hello, John.
Fucking hello, fucking fuckity fuck 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 shit fuck.
So fuck. John's give it tilting the hand. It's obvious what we're doing now, but first, very special returning guest, Mr. Garo Nagosian, filmmaker and just overall crazy man. Say hello, Garo.
I thought we were done. I mean, I actually wrote something on my Facebook about 2-3 weeks ago, like how freeing it was that I knew I never had to see this movie. You know, I was like, it felt like a weight lifted off my chest. Like, I didn't even watch a fucking trailer of this movie. I was like, I don't fucking care. Like, it was like 31 was bad enough. I'm done. In fact, when Stuart like sent the text through Facebook, like, oh, I think we should do it, I literally screamed the N-word. I screamed the goddamn N-word. And I'm gonna tell you, like, let's reenact it right now.
I'm gonna say the N-word.
That was Garrett.
But Stuart, say, hey, we're gonna review this goddamn movie. Say it.
Hey, we're gonna review this goddamn movie.
No, that was the N-word I screamed.
Oh, was it?
And it's very telling that you guys thought it was a different N-word. You racist.
Yeah. Shame on me.
Well, you're the one whose first three letters of his name start with N-I-G. It's not us. The legend of...
I don't have a problem being called a racist for this movie because it makes me hate white people.
Yeah, I was like, I was wondering.
Hey, John, you're finally learning, man. Bad time.
I was actually wondering what it is Rob Zombie has against white people when I watched this movie. But, So the movie we're doing is Three from Hell, the third film in his, I don't know what the series is called, the trilogy.
Of now. Shit.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the shit trilogy.
The House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, and now Three from Hell, which has, Rob Zombie's wife back in, you know, again.
Who has one acting ability, one acting thing in this, which is loud. That's her whole thing. I'm going to be as loud as possible. That's how I'm going to act.
Well, now, Garo, let's be fair. She's going through menopause right now.
Yeah, she does. She does look like all of her estrogen is just like gone.
God.
So, you also have Bill Moseley back as Otis Driftwood. And here's the weird thing. Okay, everybody was like, "Oh, this is Sid Haig's last movie because he's back as Captain Spaulding." He's in the movie for like 2 seconds.
Yeah. He's dying.
Like one scene.
Look at he's literally. Dead. You can see, but the guy's literally dying.
Yeah, I know, but it just. I was kind of going, well, you know, maybe at least I'll get some more Sid Haig because he was at least mildly entertaining in Devil's Rejects. But no, he is killed early on in the film, and
Oh my God. You'd be the director like, I don't care if you're dying, Sid. I want more scenes with you.
No, horrible. Yeah. Sorry, Sid. You only got so much time left. You know, let's make hay while the sun's shining.
Sid figured the only way to get away from Rob Zombie was to die.
It looks like they dragged him out of the hospital and threw him in the convertible.
I mean,
it's really depressing.
But he sort of replaced by Richard Brake, who's, I guess, a new favorite of Zombie, you know, because he's been in a lot of his movies lately. And he plays the new Otis's half brother, Winslow Foxy Coltrane.
What I want to know is, they get in the movie, they say, like, Sid Haig's character, he ends up getting the death penalty. Like, it's like, we're giving him the death penalty. Why don't the other two get the death penalty?
It makes no fucking sense.
You know, and they, like, bring the other dude out into, like, fucking, like, and if these guys are so dangerous, they'd be, like, in solitary confinement the whole time.
Yeah, they're not going to be, he's not going to, like, you know, Otis Driftwood, who's easily the most dangerous of these characters, he's not going to be out on the chain gang.
Yeah,
you know, he's gonna be. No. In a,
he'll be. He'd in be in the, Supermax. He'd be in like Supermax or some shit. You know, even in the '70s.
Okay,
he'd be sharing a rental area with El Chapo.
then he would definitely escape. But yeah, true. Like the thing about this movie is, okay, you know, it starts up and the first like 10-15 minutes is like all news footage type stuff,
which
and
you knew
what?
Was coming.
And I'll tell
it was
you,
coming.
It, that whole section of the movie, it's all fucking Manson worship. That's all it is.
Well, totally.
Okay, well, like, let's get into that, because the Manson worship is a theme that runs. It's in every single Rob Zombie movie in some form or another, whether it's Halloween or these movies or. I don't know, other movies he's done, or I'm drawing a blank, but, you know, the Manson stuff is huge. And so when this movie started up, I was going, well, okay. I started thinking about, you know, the typical tropes that come with this stuff, which is, what is it with our, you know, the fascination with killers and yada, yada, yada. And I was thinking, you know, okay, well, maybe this movie will do something interesting. I'm giving it too much credit, but maybe it will. And of course it doesn't, but you know, it starts out and I'm thinking, you know, you see these people who are big supporters of theirs. And at first I was going, well, that's stupid. And then I was thinking, well, no, it's not, because, you know, every murderer has their fan club. But the movie doesn't really go anywhere with it, because it's the same thing as Devil's Rejects, where there's the killers against the system, and the system is somehow worse for some reason.
Which is just like the Joker movie.
Well, and you know, it just devolves into sadism.
Well, the opening of the movie, the whole way it's set
Okay, Garrow, sorry to cut you off there. Now, it's universally agreed that nobody here liked it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
No, I hated it. Okay, hated it.
Right, Garrow.
I think it might be his worst movie.
I've read that. I think 31 was worse. All right.
Yeah.
John, I won't bother asking. I'm going to throw a spanner in the works here. I'm actually going to tell you, I really enjoyed this.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Boy. There's no follow up. No, I didn't. I hate it. No, I actually did. I really enjoyed this Fumi. I'm not kidding.
Okay, so Stu, let me, you know, before we kill Stu. You know,
I was gonna say, here come the buzzards about to pick me alive. No,
well, let me ask you, are you a fan of the first two movies?
The first one, yes. The second one, not really, no.
Okay, I thought it would have been the other way around.
No, the first one, because the first one,
Devil's Rejects is the one that, like, even people who don't really like Rob Zombie kind of are like, it's okay, you know.
I liked it. I saw it in the theater, and I enjoyed the horror. And I get why. I'll tell you why I liked Free from Hell, because House of a Thousand Corpses had the horror comedy element to it, and it was funny in parts. You know, for those of you who have seen it will know what I'm talking about.
Well, Penn Jillette saw it, and it made Penn Jillette against the death penalty, right, John?
Yeah.
The Albert Fish, who enjoyed shoving pins into his crotch.
Right.
His death would have been too good for him, so I'm against the death penalty.
Okay, so...
Well, I don't know why I'm making Penn sound like Rush Limbaugh, but there you go.
Because he sounds like Rush Limbaugh, that's why.
Yeah, he actually kind of does.
So that had the horror comedy... aspect to that film. Devil's Reject, on the other hand, was just mean-spirited all the way through.
That's why I don't like it. It's sadistic.
But with this one, as I was watching, I expected nothing. Absolutely zero. I expected it to be worse than 31. And I think it's universally agreed here, 31 is most likely his worst one, which is shocking.
I don't know. I think this, I think this one might be worse.
I got to tell you, 31 was just kind of pointless sadism from beginning to end. I will say I do it. This one at least had some actors I like in it, which is why I prefer it to 31. I mean, I don't dislike Richard Brake, but when he's annoying, he's annoying, and he's annoying in 31. By the way, earlier on online, I referred to 31 as 13, and someone corrected me as 31. And it made me think of that Offspring song where Pretty Fly for a White Guy, where they're like, he gets a tattoo and he asks for a 13, but they drew a 31. That kind of,
did you?
I don't know.
Well, maybe just
sums up that movie for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, but 31, it's, I don't know. I remember, you know, I know there's a friend of mine at work who loves Rob Zombie movies. And even they were like, that movie's terrible. Yeah. You know?
Let's go back to the 31 episode we did three years ago, I think it was. Yeah, it was. About this time last year. About this time 3 years
ago. Was it that long ago?
Yeah, it was just before the 2016 presidential election, remember?
Oh, my gosh.
That's so long. Wow. I know, it feels like... only about 18 months or something, but yeah, it was 3 years. So anyway, get back to Three from Hell. So I watched it with zero expectations and actually found myself in the first 20 minutes thinking, it's not that bad. I'm feeling it. Half an hour in, I'm actually enjoying this. Okay, surely the last 45, 50 minutes is going to be terrible. And I will say the last 10 minutes, the fight was just ridiculous. It was dumb.
Okay, so the plot of this movie is... somehow the family survives the just insane amount of bullets that were pumped into them at the end of Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
They all go to prison. Captain Spaulding's executed. Otis escapes and busts out baby Firefly. And they kill all the cops that imprisoned them and then go down to Mexico where they encounter, like, you know, a gang of Lucha Libre Satan worshipers, and they get into a fight with them somehow. Yeah. And that's basically the plot.
There's not much plot. I mean, I'll acknowledge
really
that.
I mean, you know, they just go down to Mexico to party, and they end up through circumstances getting into a fight with Mexican gang. Let me ask you though, Stu. You said you thought Devil's Rejects was mean-spirited. Why is this movie different? Because I felt this was incredibly mean-spirited. Like, there were some scenes where I was like, I don't want to watch this.
Because grossed out. Comedic elements put back into it. Not as much as House of a Thousand Corpses, but it was still some funny moments. Devil's Rejects had no funny moments at all. None. And
right.
then it comes across to me as just mean-spirited. And yeah, this is mean-spirited. And it's got its own way. I'm not saying it's strictly a comedy, because it's not. It's still pretty gruesome. But that was always going to be the attached expectation of it, I guess. Because if it wasn't, they'd be going, what the hell is Rob Zombie doing? These are the most evil people on the planet, yet there's nothing gruesome in this film. So there's always going to be that in there.
Sure, sure. I don't know, the scenes where people are getting stabbed. Like, it's kind of a similar thing I've had with his other movies where it just feels so... it feels vicious to a point where I'm like, okay, like, why would I want to watch this? You know, I kind of go, what is this for? Who's this for?
Okay.
Maybe I'm just getting older and more conservative, but that's my reaction.
Let me draw a parallel. Have you seen Joker yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Joker's pretty, for those who have not seen it, it is a pretty gruesome movie. You don't know what you're in for. It's actually pretty, who's seen it here? Garrow, you've seen it, right?
I've seen it.
Right, John.
No.
No.
I haven't seen it.
So, Gary, you know what I'm talking about. It's a pretty full-on movie for a DC film.
Yeah, but also I felt like I didn't feel the movie was Joker was gratuitous. I thought, you know, it got violent, and in the violent, it showed how violence is. But it's like basically Rob Zombie is just like, hey, I love violence, and I'm going to show, and I'm just going to be as brutal as possible, and I don't care. And it's like, but Joker, and there's no rhyme or reason to the violence in Rob Zombie's movie, where basically I felt more. if all the violence felt, you know, the realer in like Joker. Joker to me is a way better film than
Oh this. Yeah, I agree completely.
So I think for me it's that, like, you know, I don't like there's just a certain amount of lingering on the killing of innocents. And I get that that's like part of the horror of it, but it just goes for a long time. And I get what you're saying about the comedy. Like, there's this shot where Sherry Moon Zombie's like chasing someone. She's chasing like a naked woman outside. And the way she's running is kind of funny. The way that Sherry Moon Zombie's running is kind of funny, but
yeah, no. she's kind of retarded. So
yeah,
she's not going to run real well anyway.
Yeah. But
she's almost as retarded as her husband, who somehow gets movie deals, yeah. And I can't figure it out because I don't think this guy should direct traffic. Jesus Christ!
You know what's funny is ever since I started teaching film, like, I can spot every low budget trick in editing software now.
Oh, in this movie, it looks like Rob Zombie looked through all the filters in the editing suite and used them all.
It's so
gimmicky.
I was sitting there like, I was like going, oh man, he did a draw. There's a draw mask, you know, just okay. But yeah, that was sort of a reaction I had to it. But, you know, I was able to spot all this stuff, but.
One thing that was he had a lot less of in this film was the obligatory rock music. There was some more in the second half.
It could afford it. It was on such a low budget, like $3 million. It didn't make its money back domestic gross. I'm sure it's gonna do fine and ancillary sales or whatever.
Joe Walsh got paid quite well. There's about 3 James Gang songs in here.
They probably gotta get the L on those.
In Agata DeVita, which you know.
Which we already saw done in Manhunter.
Yeah,
Jesus. I mean, they're so obvious.
It was done in Manhunter perfectly. Don't ever try it again with that song for anything, because it's never going to beat Manhunter.
You know what's funny is this movie costs $3 million, and it looks cheap. It's such a cheap movie. And like 31 cost $1.5 million. It didn't look as cheap as Three from Hell. It actually looked like a movie that would play in a theater. This has direct-to-video all over it.
That's the cinematography, though, Garrow, I think, because it's got those brightly lit shots. It looks like a direct-to-video feature, whereas 31 was dark and murky looking. So
yeah, but this one feels like it was made for about $500,000. It doesn't even feel like it's $3 million. And the digital effects look like they were from 20 years ago.
They all look like they were done in final. They all look like they were done in Final Cut. But,
yeah, because half of the blood in the last like 20-30 minutes of this movie is CGI, and it is the worst CGI blood I've seen since CGI blood started appearing in movies.
It's like the CGI blood
since
from
Wild Zero.
Yeah,
it's the CGI blood from Takeshi Kitano's Zatoichi movie.
Oh, it's CGI blood from Rainbow 4, which is pretty bad.
You know, I think that most of the budget probably went to like some of the actors, and if I had to guess,
for sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
But music licensing is probably
sure, you know. But because the movie, I was thinking when I was watching it, this looks really cheap.
And if you notice, there's only like really in the movie, there's only like 4 locations. There's the jail. There's the house of the warden.
Yeah.
There's the hotel room they're in, and then there's the little Mexican city.
The Mexican town is not a bad location. Like, that has a lot of potential. Like, you know, I was kind of going, are we going a Sam Peckinpah, like, Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia route here? But
it went more in the direction of Low Fidelity and Dead Dog direction.
I remember thinking there was a moment where, you know, Otis is about to throw down with the Mexican gang leader, and I remember thinking, okay, you know, I'm feeling some tension build here. This is some decent filmmaking, I guess. But then I went, Rob Zombie doesn't know how to stage a fight. This is going to suck. And sure enough, it's a bunch of choppy editing and swinging around and sound effects.
The last fight with the knives or with the machetes was totally, I don't know if it was his sort of nod to James Dean's Rebel Without a Cause knife fight. I don't know, but it was that last 10 minutes was, I'm like, okay, I have endured this much. I enjoyed the most of it, but yeah, the last 10 minutes was just, silly.
And also, what I was saying before about like the beginning with the whole Manson worship, have any of you guys seen the Jim Van Bever movie, The Manson Family?
No, I've never seen any of the Manson kind of lore in cinema. That includes Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I did see Helter Skelter. Was it?
That's a TV miniseries.
Yeah,
TV
miniseries.
Yeah.
That's the one I saw.
Yeah. But if you see the Manson Family, like the whole ending, they do kind of a musical montage after the whole like Manson family, they get arrested and all that. Basically the beginning of Three from Hell is a ripoff of that.
Didn't they kind of do that at the beginning of Devil's Rejects too?
I can't remember Devil's Rejects. I saw it once when it came out. I wouldn't be surprised if he ripped off from Jim if he kept ripping off from Jim Van
Bever. I mean,
Bevers.
He might, because like the Devil's Rejects, they have the big shootout at the house at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then they have them kind of escaping and, you know, kind of killing someone to take their car. But it has like you see some motion and then a freeze frame and zooming in, and it's playing like a Skynyrd song or something. I can't remember who it was. It's that song where it's like, I've got one more silver dollar. You know, that song.
That's Allman Brothers.
Allman Brothers. Yeah, that's it. It's Allman Brothers.
And the other thing, when I was watching the opening and all the Manson worship, I was really hoping like Cliff Booth would have showed up in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood like last week, and then watching this, which is also kind of like a personal fantasy about the Manson family.
Yeah.
But from a different point of view, I guess. It was just like, it's really, really bad for this film. I saw it a week after Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, because basically everything that Rob Zombie is worshiping in this movie, Quentin Tarantino tears down in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I will say one thing. There was one oh boy moment I had, and I thought of you guys straight away. I thought, this is shoehorned in. With Clint Howard as the clown coming to the front door, made no sense. Of the warden's house. We had to endure like 7 minutes of a clown pissing himself. I gotta say.
All it told me was a clown must have scared Rob Zombie when he was a kid.
He's got some sort of he's obviously got a fascination with clowns. I don't know what it is, but what's that phobia that they call it when you got a fear of clowns? There's some technical
some made up shit from the Huffington Post or something.
Yeah.
Zombie it can't be real.
Yeah, yeah, but that was a part that was shoehorned in. I thought, oh, here we go. He has to get his clown moment because there wasn't enough clown moments with Sid Haig because he was only in it for the first five
minutes. It's called chalrophobia, which is it's on an informal phobia list. So, yes, it is made up.
Right. Well, yeah. But that was a head-scratching moment going, what was the point? They'd know if a clown was coming to the fucking door. It was just...
And why would grown-up people hire a clown to entertain them?
Exactly.
Yeah, it was just an excuse to get Clint Howard acting foolish, you know. It's just,
well, he gets his cast at like horror conventions. Clint Howard does horror conventions, so does Dee Wallace and most of the other actors he uses.
I'll tell you what he did. I would have rather seen Clint Howard as the warden.
That would have been a little more entertaining.
Yeah, but he had to get his Jeff Daniel Phillip Rob Zombie light lookalike in there somehow. I mean...
Yeah, Clint Howard actually could have taken Richard Brackage's place or whatever and done that cousin role. That would have been more entertaining.
That's a good point.
Yeah, Richard... you could easily replace Richard Brake with Clint Howard. I mean...
Yeah, it's just like he's just
Richard
a doppelganger
Blake, but he's
for
misused in these movies. I don't know.
Well, it's like he's just a doppelganger for Bill Moseley's character. So what's
the point? He's a replacement. It's just all it is. Yeah.
He's
you have three in them. Yeah.
He's getting ready for when Bill Moseley drops off. It's like, oh, shoehorn Richard Brake in there. Got a ready-made replacement to go. But
Bill Moseley looks bored throughout most of the movie. Like he like seemed to have been phoning it in.
He's waiting for his social security check. He doesn't really care anymore.
Yeah.
All he has to do is deliver every line like he's incredulous, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
He just has to seem like, what are you guys doing here? You know, what? I'm the coolest guy in this room. Come on.
Satan.
Nobody talked
I'm
like
Satan.
That in the 70s, by the way. No one talked like that back then.
You are lame. I am cool.
Yeah, exactly.
You are not Humphrey Bogart, okay? I'm Bogart.
It's so post-80s in that line delivery and everything. It's like there's no attempt at any real believable period recreation.
So speaking of, you know, Rob Zombie, when you see interviews with him, he's always on about 70s movies, like, Omega Man and Clockwork Orange and yada-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
What is it about his movies, his version of the 70s? I mean, you know, let's speak grandly here, not necessarily on a minutia level. What is it that he gets wrong about it? Because, you know, I wasn't around for the 70s at all.
Right.
But you know, all I know is what I've seen in movies. And I know his movies get it wrong, but he has this, like, cartoon Rob Zombie version of the 70s in
because
his head.
Because the movies – sorry, go on.
No, go ahead. But I was just going to say, what is it about his films that he gets wrong? I mean, I know there's, like, minutia he gets wrong.
He's readjusting history.
What is it about the overall feel?
He's readjusting history. A lot of people, the majority of people will see his films wouldn't have lived through the 70s. He's going, well, this is the way that it was when it really wasn't. He's giving you Rob Zombie's version
the way
of the
70s. I mean,
well, he's giving you Rob Zombie's version of the 70s. Well,
yeah,
if he's putting
it,
if he's putting
like
in a movie,
album cover version.
Yeah, but if he's putting in a movie, I mean, I don't know how factually accurate he's trying to be, but if you never lived through that period, you'll go, oh, that's the way it must have been. So,
but what is it? But there's something like, I don't know. There's just because there's something like triggering about his movies to fans, people who lived through it or people who saw it. There's something that
maybe he's creating a world.
It's some feel. There's something artistically wrong.
Maybe the 70s is boring for him.
Here's the problem. He makes the 70s through a prism of how he makes music videos. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, he makes a movie, a 70s movie, like a music video. I made a movie that takes place in the 70s.
Well, I wanted to get to that. I wanted to talk about, because your movies conceptually are not that different from his.
Mm-hmm.
Conceptually, they're not, you know, but yours are better. And why is that?
It's because I actually sat down, watched 70s exploitation movies, like really watched them and said, okay, they do this, they do that, do they do that? And I go, okay, I'm going to play by the rules they play by. You know, I'm not going to throw in a bunch of CGI. I'm not going to go, I'm going to buy it. I went out, got a fisheye lens for the camera, because if you watch those movies, there's a lot of fisheye in it, you know, and I figured out how things, there isn't a lot of quick cutting or anything. It's a lot of long takes and stuff like that. You just watch a couple of them and you can feel like how the movies were made there. He has no interest in that. He wants to make them like he makes his music video and then throw a bunch of like fake scratches in post-production and be like, ooh, now look, it's 70s.
Hang on right there.
Still 70s.
Gary, hold it right there, because I've always said to you, I wish you had done just a cut of Dangerous People with that look, but you were adamant, I'm not doing it, right?
No, John said it the best. He said, basically, people who watched those movies in the 70s weren't watching movies that had a bunch of fucking scratches on them. They were watching pristine prints.
It's so obvious, but it's not, you know?
So, and I always remember John saying that, and I'm like, John is fucking right.
It's like when people watch silent movies back then, they didn't look like they'd just been dragged across the floor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I was like, John is correct, and I'm not going to do that bullshit.
Well, I have thought about putting Dangerous People through
another
a filter.
Thing, there's one thing I can add to this, is he gets into that trend, like Garrow said, that he bases the stuff on the way he does music videos. He makes all the action and violence in editing. Like, these are movies that are just kind of, they're kind of done by editing. And if you watch the 70s films, it's kind of there. You know, it's not made in editing, except for Jaws. Jaws is an exception.
Rob Zombie honestly wishes, I've just come to this conclusion now, that his father and his grandfather were Herman Munster and Grandpa. I'm sure he wishes he was Eddie Munster in real life.
I was thinking about that, though, because, like, with Garrow, when you said, you know, longer takes and stuff like that, I mean, all the exploitative elements in Dangerous People are just right there, you know, it's right in front of the camera. And, you know, because your movies do have like kind of sadistic humor, you know, but it plays better than that. Whereas, I don't know, there's something about his that feels it feels like I'm watching like something I shouldn't be watching, and not in a good way.
Hey, Garrow.
Like something I'm just watching like some sick crap. I don't know.
Hey, Garrow, can you just recreate my favorite line from Dangerous People for me, please? Seeing as you're here.
I don't know which one it is.
You literally have no balls.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember. I can't remember. But it's like, what
you
was
literally that? Have no balls.
It was like you have, I don't know. I can't remember. I haven't watched the movie in a while. I don't know what it is. I'm not one of those people that watches my movie over and over again. I'm actually kind of quite sick of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Filmmakers are always like, oh, I never watch my movies. Well, of course you don't, because you edited it. And
yep.
My goodness. That means you've watched like 200 miles of footage.
Yeah. Like, I watch. Because the thing is, when you edit a movie, you have to watch it over and over again and find stuff that annoys you so you can cut it out. So I've watched Dangerous People probably about 500 times.
Oh, my God.
You know? When I do the film festival for my students, you know, that's like 2 hours of content that going through it over and over and over again. You're just sick of it. Like, by the time I'm watching it in the theater with the audience, I like want to go out and do something else while it's playing. So I've just seen it so many times.
You know, Garrow won't watch Dangerous People for a long time, but he's still quite happy to trash his original cinematographer on social media.
Any chance I can do that, I'll do that. That's fun.
Did he shoot Three from Hell?
Yeah, believe me, it looks like he did, but he didn't.
I will say one thing about Three from Hell. It didn't suffer from the quick edit nightmare that most films do these days. Because, it was quite easy to watch. I've got to bring up one thing real quick. I was watching a film with my two oldest boys, which I had no idea what the film was about. Neither did my 13-year-old. That was Midsommar.
Oh, I love that movie. That's so.
Are you fucking serious? We cut it off after an hour. I said, this is dumb. It was dumbest shit.
That movie is hysterical. It is, you got to watch the whole. Did you finish watching it?
No, we switched it off after an hour. I said, forget. There was just a bunch of Father Yods jumping off a cliff. I don't care. What do I care?
Believe me, that movie, when it ends, you're like, that's fucking amazing. You're like, this movie was great. I loved Midsommar. One of my favorite movies this year. Absolutely loved it.
Watch
this over Three from Hell.
I said, if one person's going to like it, it'd be you. It'd have to be you.
Yeah.
Because I can't.
I loved it. And I only liked Hereditary. I thought Hereditary was good. I didn't love it, you know, but in Midsommar, it was like, it reminded me of what I tried to do in Dangerous People, where you're trying to have a movie work on two levels. You're trying to have it work on a dramatic level, and you're trying to have it work on a comedy level. And basically what it does is at the end, those two versions, you know, converge, and you have the drama and the comedy working at the same time. And I was kind of happy to see someone else try to do that.
But that film was so fucking graphic. It was ridiculous. I had no idea what I was in for. And I said to my son, turn it off. He goes, I can't watch this.
I thought it was less graphic than Three from Hell.
No way. No way. There's a dude who jumped off a cliff and his face smashes on a rock. There's nothing like that in Three from Hell.
I liked it way better than Three from Hell. Like, I think Ari Aster is actually like a really good filmmaker, where I think...
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen Hereditary. I've seen nothing. I'm always skeptical of like the overpraised indie horror. So, you know, I'll have to check it out.
Well, Hereditary is okay. It was overrated. Hereditary was 100% overrated. It's good, but people were saying it's one of the best horror movies ever made. It's a good movie. It's good. Like, I
remember when The Babadook was the best horror movie ever made.
Yeah, The Witch. The Witch was the best horror movie.
Oh, man, The Witch. I think that was the breaking point for me.
Yeah, like, I was done after that shit.
I was like, that. This movie is... It's a lot of things, but, you know.
Yeah, but Midsommar, I actually feel, is like is kind of in the same style of what Dangerous People was. So where it's like, I thought the movie at the end, I thought the movie was hysterically funny at the end of the movie. Some people look at me and be like, what are you talking about? And it's just, but I'm like, that, and I know it because I actually looked up interviews with Ari Aster, and he actually said he thinks of Midsommar as a comedy. And I'm like, yes, it is. It is a comedy. Midsommar is a comedy. So going to Midsommar.
God help comedy if it's a fucking comedy, because that was the worst thing I've seen.
Oh, you only watch like the first hour. You got to finish the movie. It's really, really good.
Yeah, okay. No worries. not. I will watch Free from Hell again before I watch that. That's for bloody sure.
Oh. Watch it back to back with Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah, that joke was like wrong. 2011. John, that joke was really funny. It's just, oh my god! But the thing is, with Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles, I actually wanted to jump off the cliff and smash my face on the rock after I watched that movie. It was that bad.
I've never seen it, and in that documentary I posted to the group, his son says a lot of people don't know it exists.
It's shocking. It's so bad.
You know, it's funny. I remember the weekend that opened, because I actually went to go see a different movie that weekend. It actually opened the same day as Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh, was it the same year?
Oh, really?
It was
long ago.
Yep. Wow. Same weekend. I remember they opened the same weekend I went to see Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh, that was a funny ass movie. That one, Freddy Got Fingered.
I like that movie too.
Yeah. R.I.P. Rip Torn. By the way, rip.
Rip and destroy. All right, let's get back to Rob Zombie.
Rip and destroy!
You're looking.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Wait, what? What was that?
You're looking for someone, but it's not Kiss.
All right.
Right, it's Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Three from Hell. Well, this is unexpected that Stu liked this movie as much as he did.
He's trolling.
No, I'm not. I swear, hand on heart, I knew I was either going to be Hunter or John saying, no, he's trolling, but I'm not. I'm really not trolling.
Well, since Stuart did like it, do you want me to tell you the one thing I did like in it?
Yeah.
So that.
I liked it when started dressing like Elizabeth Warren.
And that film.
I was very offended by that because she appropriates the Indian headdress, and I know there's people who can't stand that and start protest over that shit.
Okay, so there's a few things in this movie I'm surprised they did. One was they have a group of white people massacre Mexicans at the end. And the interracial couple as well. Appropriation, you know.
And the interracial couple as well, with the warden and his black wife and the black guy with his white wife.
Well, there's the warden and his black wife, and then there's like the black, the parole board guy and his white wife. Like, you had these two opposite, like, it was like the doo-wop scene in Mulholland Drive with the interracial doo-wop group, you know?
It was totally Rob Zombie gone. I'm going to mix the couples around because people are going to expect the white wife, white husband, black wife, black husband. But that looked quite funny, actually.
By the way, do you guys know Richard Brake is Welsh?
No.
I thought he was European. I know he's not American.
I've always thought of him as American, which is weird. So when I saw he was Welsh, I was like, what? Joe Chill is Welsh? It's weird.
What was he Joe Chill in?
Batman Begins.
Was he in that? I didn't even realize.
Yeah, he shot Thomas and Martha Wayne.
Nolan used a lot of British bureau actors in that, doing American roles, like, and Australian actors and
stuff. Yeah, like he got Tom Wilkinson, you know.
Hey, Garrow, just going back to Joker real quick. You got the whole anti-Trump vibe from it, right, with the resist protesters.
Yeah, but I actually feel that it was more of making fun of the left, because they're showing that the left will just, like, follow anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not saying it was a direct attack on Trump, because I was thinking, De Niro would have shoehorned that in for sure, but it wasn't.
Yeah, there's a scene where they're showing, like, a big, like, a protest where they're protesting Thomas Wayne, and they're holding up an effigy of Thomas Wayne, and it looks so much like fucking Trump.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not funny. You know damn well De Niro was there that day going, burn that motherfucker!
And they're like, I don't think you get what we're trying to do with this movie, Robert.
Yeah. The best scene in that film was what happened to De Niro. It was like, yes, I cheered on big time when I saw that. I won't give it away, but actually, De Niro is even tolerable in that film. I'll say that, and I can't stand him these days.
He's only in it for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, he's only, it's true, but
Speaking of De Niro, I've been enjoying Based Marty's attacks on Marvel movies.
Based Marty.
Well, I'm looking forward to The Irishman. So.
Who's that? I'm looking forward to The Irishman. Are you kidding? Yeah. You know,
Joe Pesci out of retirement.
Is he really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He was retired for the last few years.
Is that the one he was supposed to have made years ago called I Paint Walls or something?
Yeah. Yeah. This is that.
Oh, wow. I want to see that. I thought that had been gone and was never to happen. I think it's called I Paint Houses. Oh, wow. Really?
I Paint Houses. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Who's in it? De Niro and Pesci.
And Pacino.
Oh, Pacino, wow. Giuliano. Fuck, that's going to be insane.
By the way, I don't know if we're going to review it, but I just want to say that I thought Pacino in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is my favorite Pacino performance in years.
I think we need to do Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I was
is
constantly
it better than...
citing his lines. He's so funny and,
is it
and
better
hilarious
than
in the film.
Is it better than Pacino and Jack and Jill?
This might shock you, probably. I never saw Jack and Jill.
Oh, man. Pacino. What's my name? Dunkachino.
But I think we need to do Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I think there's a lot to discuss
in
that.
Let's do it when it comes out on video. Cause
yeah,
I haven't seen it yet.
Can't get a hold of it anywhere. It's not playing locally anymore. It's gone.
I need to, once it comes out on video, let's do it because I want to see it and I haven't been able to.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Yeah, when John was like, "Hey, let's do Once Upon a Time in Hollywood instead of Three from Hell," I'm like, "Please let us do that. Please let us do that instead."
Sorry, but we would be hounded.
Yeah, when this one got kind of sprung on us, Stu, were you the one who was like, "Hey, let's do Three from Hell"?
Well, I saw that it was available. I thought, you know what? People are going to ask for us to do it anyway. So
no one is asked. No one asked on the group.
You know what?
No one wants. No one expects.
It's because they know better. Honestly,
yeah.
They know better. That's why. That's why we do it so they don't have to ask. You know.
But can this be the last one? Can this be the last?
We said that last time. We will all agree, and then another one's going to come out, and we're going to go. One of us is going to go.
No, that'd be me. That'll be me going, you know what? Three from Hell was quite good. Let's do the next one.
Let's do Four from Hades. Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he made another movie.
Oh, I think really you will. Well, I think, you know what? Are you talking about another one with this in this series?
I don't think he'll make another movie. I mean,
nah, he
if
will.
You look at the budget for this, I don't know. It's just like it was a Fathom event.
I think the only reason this one got a little more money than 31 is because it's a sequel to Devil's Rejects.
Yeah. Which I guess was popular.
That's the movie that got him the Halloween gig, you know.
But the thing is, this film will recoup its money back. If it's only $3 million, it'll recoup it back. And
it made like something like, I think, over $1 million from the Fathom thing. So yeah, they're probably getting half of that. That's $500,000 right there.
I'll bet you Rob Zombie will continue to make movies. They're just going to get lower budget.
They are.
You know,
it's exactly right.
You know, it's funny because, you know, the Kevin Smith movie's coming out, Jay and Silent Reboot. Do you know how much the budget is on that?
Nothing.
No, it's surprisingly $10 million.
What? Oh, really?
That's ridiculous.
$10 million. I'm not kidding. $10 million.
That's insane.
How?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
So hang on. Is it Kevin Smith and Jason Heronhead in the movie again? Or was it a reboot with different people? What's the point? I mean...
No, it's not a reboot. It's a sequel because it's Jay... Like, okay, Kevin Smith has been trying to force feed his kid to us forever, Harley Quinn Smith, you know, which today is the most cringe name you could possibly give your kid.
That's her real name?
Yes, that's her real name, Harley Quinn Smith.
God, I hate this generation. I guess it's my generation, but I hate them.
Yeah, Gen X, what the heck. You know, people talk about millennials, my goodness. No, we're pretty bad. But it's like, she's the love child of Jay and Shannon Elizabeth's character from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. And like, but I looked the trailer for that movie. It's all just warmed over jokes from the other films, you know, next he's going to do Clerks 3 after this. That's the next thing. He's doing.
Well, here's the thing. All of the movies he made after he gave up the Viewaskew universe have been terrible. Awful. Yes. They've been, terrible. So, and basically, I guess people weren't interested. So now he's going back to doing the View Askew movies.
Back to the well.
Like he did Yoga Hosers, which was supposed to make Harley Quinn and, you know, Johnny Depp's kid stars. That didn't, everybody hated that.
I never even saw it.
I've never seen it either, but like Tusk has its fans, you know, like there's people who like that movie for some reason. But that movie was supposed to like be kind of a semi sequel to Tusk because nobody saw it. No one cared. Nobody.
What about Cop Out?
Cop Out.
That's terrible.
Cop Out cemented that Smith would never be a Hollywood director.
5 minutes I got in, I just turned it off. I thought this is hideous.
Like, Kevin Smith so showed awful. Up on set and expected Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan to just be good and he wouldn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Because I remember I was listening to his podcast when he was doing that film.
Yeah.
And when he was talking about it, I was like, this movie's going to be awful because he's expecting that he's got all these resources. He's just going to fall into place.
He's expecting he's going to make another 48 hours film, which.
Yeah. And when you watch the movie, you can tell they're not being directed at all. And he's like, oh, Bruce Willis is such a jerk. Well, maybe Bruce Willis expects somebody. He expects to have a director. I don't know.
Bruce Willis looked bored.
I heard he is a jerk, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it just seemed like it's just that movie ensured that you're not going to have any. Kevin Smith Hollywood films.
He's probably not a jerk if you tell him what to do, if you direct him. I guarantee straightens up.
And also, you know, Zack and Miri, I think, is the movie that ruined him, though.
Well, I think Weed ruined him. I think.
But you know why? Because Seth Rogen introduced it to him on the set.
Yeah, and it's because
hey, smoke some of this. Hey, take a hit of this. It's called Cheech's Secret Pineapple Stash. Yeah.
Yeah. It's. I've had like I haven't liked a movie of his in over 10 years. It's. Oh, I mean, no. I'm gonna see Jay and Silent Bob reboot because it's gonna be because the nostalgia of the 90s. But I am not going into it thinking it's gonna be good, and I might end up
lying if I said I'm not gonna watch it. I'm not gonna watch that movie. I know it's gonna be terrible.
I'm absolutely not gonna watch it. And that is.
I won't see it. He should have trolled us all and made an Empire Records sequel.
Oh, that would have been brilliant.
Exactly. That's why it's what he should have done.
That's what it's gonna be.
He's gonna do Clerks 3 now.
Oh. Yep.
Yes, he's doing Clerks 3. He was doing social media posts about how it's written, and he was posting pictures
back in 2010. You know, I've heard that for a decade now. It's gonna happen, and
then I'm hoping after that, Mallrats too. Let's just do them all. Sequels to every single one.
Chasing
of them.
Amy too. You can win Becky's bicycle girlfriend, and you know,
let's do them all.
Dogma 2.
Jersey Girl 2.
Oh, no.
Let my love open the door.
You can get a George Carlin light sort of figure in there. You know, some other dying comedian before he pops off.
Whoever replaces George Carlin in the new Bill and Ted, you're in Jersey Girl 2.
Yes.
Well, there's a new Bill and Ted as well.
Yeah, they're coming out next year, another Bill and Ted.
That I will watch. That will be interesting. Because I trust Keanu Reeves enough these days. So
will Jim Martin from Faith No More make an appearance?
We can only hope.
Yeah, 80s nostalgia.
Will Pam Grier make an appearance? That film is. Will Pam Grier come back?
She's on a TV. She's on a sitcom now.
Is she?
Yeah, she's on one with like Dax Shepard. It's on ABC. I can't remember the name of it.
Last time I saw her on TV, she was a lesbian on The L Word. I'm like, this is terrible. Mm-hmm. This is what the great Pam Grier has been reduced to. Forget it. I'm not watching this shit. No homophobia. Just a terribly written show. That's all it was.
Why are you watching The L Word anyways?
Because I was too lazy to get up and change the channel.
It was out of respect to fellow Australian Ruby Rose.
Oh, I didn't even think she was Australian anymore. I think she was American. She
might be claiming American now.
Have her. I don't want her. No. We don't need her.
We'd like to return her in the coffin of Richard Dawson.
All right. Well, we got anything else to say about Three from Hell? Obviously, you guys hated it. So,
you have no idea how much I hated this.
I thought every scene was way too long. Like, it was like, yes. He didn't even edit the scenes. Like, he was just like, yeah, that's fine. We'll just leave it in there as long as it was.
It was almost two hours.
It shouldn't be over. It was 2 hours.
Yeah, it was. I remember when it started and I started to feel it dragging and I went, how long is this? And I went, oh my gosh. I had the same feeling during 31 where I was like, this movie is, I've got 2 hours of
31
crap.
Was shorter. It was shorter.
It was shorter, and it felt twice as long for me. That was an insufferable movie to get through, 31.
But it just felt like we're dragging this thing out. It's a sequel that didn't need to happen. It's just because this is probably the only thing Rob Zombie could get funding for.
Okay, I want to ask you boys something now, all right? Because I have to exclude myself. I have to recuse myself from this, because I did like this. Out of the ones we've covered, Lords of Salem, 31, Three from Hell, rank them in order from worst to the best, or most tolerable.
Three from Hell is number one.
What, hang on, the worst or the best? Or the most
is
tolerable?
The best.
Okay,
Three from Hell is better than the other two.
Okay.
Then Lords of Salem, then 31. So 31's at the bottom.
Right. Garrow?
Out of those three.
Right. Hold on, I just got to see something real quick. Okay.
Or can we hang on? Can we even go back one further and include Halloween 2 in there? Because that was pretty bad.
Halloween 2 above.
Okay.
The other.
Okay, I got it. Fred, do you want me to go from best to worst?
Go from worst to best. It's up to you. You pick the way you want.
Okay. Right. Worst, 3 from Hell. Mm. Second worst, 31. Third worst, Lords of Salem. And the way I figured this out was I went looked at all their run times, and Lords of Salem was the shortest. 31 was the second shortest. And Three from Hell was the longest. So that's how I figured it out.
Yeah.
That's a good way of doing it.
Yeah.
Now, if I was going to include Halloween 2, I would put that above 3 from Hell.
Because you do like that, don't you? Yeah, I know you like that one.
I wouldn't say I like it. I just think it has interesting stuff in it.
Yeah. All right, John?
Worst to best?
Yeah, up to you.
Or best to worst?
Up to you, whichever one you go.
I'll go worst to best. The worst is easily 3 from Hell. Next is 31. Next is Lords of Salem.
Why is this worse than 31?
I know. I'm curious. Okay, look. Like I said, I've got to excuse myself because I exclude myself because I do like this. So I want to see the hate. Why the hate for this one?
Bereft. I hated that movie.
Here's the reason. I felt like even though 31 was a bad movie, and it is a horrible fucking movie, it actually felt like a movie. This doesn't feel like a movie. This feels like This feels like a fucking cynical cash-in.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
You know, this there's no reason this movie should even exist except that it was a way for Rob Zombie to make a movie. It just felt so fucking cynical, and it was like the cynicalness on top of the regular like Rob Zombie shittiness just made me want to like fucking punch a wall.
It's also derivative. It's also really derivative. I mean, he steals from, I think he stole from the Van Beber movie, like Garrow said. He steals from Manhunter. He even steals from himself with the same naked actress stabbed in Halloween 2 doing the same thing here. I mean, it's just gratuitously. Who knows what else he was stealing from? I mean, it's so idiotic to a point. It's like, what is up with the Lucha Libre mask and shit?
No, it looked awesome.
I don't get any of
this. I'm going to look fucking awesome.
Haunted World of El Super.
He must have seen.
Oh, yeah, it totally was. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure it was.
Jeez. It was just like, it's so derivative. And I mean, at least 31, it's awful, but there's some stuff he's not stealing from even himself or anything obvious, but
so,
yeah, I
so
mean,
John,
he's simply just a bad filmmaker. There's no other way to put it.
John,
he's awful.
Question for you though.
Yeah.
What would you rather watch? David Gordon Green's Halloween or Rob Zombie's Halloween?
Oh boy, I think Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Yeah,
is actually
me too.
Yeah, I was gonna say it probably is.
Yeah,
it really is because David Gordon Green's actually steals from Rob Zombie's. It's got the graphic violence and the aggressive, you know, the aggressive Michael Myers killing.
You know what's really weird is film students tell me they like Rob Zombie's Halloween. They're like, oh, I like that one. I'm like, really? I'm like, that movie's terrible. Like, no, yeah,
that's
like,
that's that generation. That's how they're educated on horror films.
Yeah, no, they were like, oh, no, I like it.
Well,
like,
my son prefers the Rob Zombie Halloween over the original. I said,
these kids do. I said, look,
come back to me in a few years. You'll change your mind.
Stu, I said the same thing. I said, wait till you get older.
Yeah.
It's like Roger Moore, James Bond being preferred to Sean Connery when you're a kid, you know, in the 70s.
I gotta say, like, wait till you get older. It seems so condescending and so crappy of a thing to say when you're a kid and when an adult says that. Yeah. But give it a few years.
Yeah.
You go, oh yeah.
You go easy on them. You know they haven't seen the light yet. They just give them time.
Yeah, I'm just like, come on. I'm like, just wait a bit. I was like, look, you know, I was young once too. I get it. You know, you like the more extreme thing. You like the thing that's more insane, you know,
you like
because
the heavy
edgier.
Metal.
But I was
metal
like, just
Halloween.
Give it a few years.
Yeah. You like all the metal Halloween. That's what it is. It's like, that, actually, Halloween looks like a movie that would have been made by Headbangers Ball back in the mid-90s. Like,
It looks like a movie made by WWE films, you know, in the 2000s.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
like John Cena is Michael Myers.
Directed by Greg Dark, you know.
And Edge is one of the boyfriends. Is this ridiculous? So. Yeah.
Well, I was reminded, Garrow had told me a story that when the South Park, the movie was being made, Paramount made Trey Parker and Matt Stone take a screenwriting class because they didn't like the script that was submitted. And they did and ended up with a much better screenplay. So I was thinking, why don't producers make Rob Zombie take a screenwriting course?
He probably has.
He must have flunked it because he has no clue how to write a script.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I will always champion The Haunted World of El Super Beasto. I think that's a fun movie to watch. I enjoy Corey.
We're not doing an episode of it.
I've never.
You know what? Honestly, I'll tell you now. If you watch it, I'm telling you now, you will enjoy it. It is so different from a Rob Zombie film. It is really, really funny.
It looks actually
animated.
Well, it's animated, but it's also the comedy in it. It's a really, really funny movie. It's so unlike Rob Zombie. That's why it's hard for me to.
Let other people work on the script.
I think so, but. I don't think we debated this last time. Either this or on Lords of Salem, one of the two, where I said, you know, El Super Beast, I feel so different. You know, was it done solely by Rob Zombie? And I think Garrow might have looked up or Hunter. I'm not too sure, but he did have help on it, which might explain why. But
yeah, I don't think it was all him, but it's technically, let me see. He's sole director, but it's him and Tom Papa.
Who's a comedian?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I might explain it because it's
so he had a guy punching it up for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, for those of you who've seen Rob Zombie, he's funny in interviews. He's a funny guy.
Well, he's entertaining in interviews, sure.
Yeah. He's very self-effacing as well. That's what makes him. Yeah, you know, he doesn't think he's, well, I don't know about these days, but he doesn't think his shit didn't stink. I couldn't get those words out.
I get a certain like kind of auteur-y like sense from his films. Like he's kind of, I don't know, like he comes from that generation of that Tarantino generation of people who've watched too many movies.
These days I think he's been brought back to earth with his low budgets and not many people wanting to make his movies, so I think he's been brought down a few pegs and thought, okay, shit, I'm not
So I remember when, like, he and Eli Roth, they were like, oh, we're the Splat Pack, you know, remember that? When they were like, this new breed of auteur horror filmmakers who made, like, you know, really edgy horror films, and it was like James Wan and Eli Roth and, you know, all these people. James Wan's the only one who, like, grew out of it, I guess.
The Australian.
Yeah.
Melbourne boy as well.
Yeah. James Wan's a good filmmaker. He's good.
Yeah, I just get lost of what films he's actually made. I mean, there's all those films that there's The Nun, Conjuring, Conjuring 2. I don't know which one to his. Annabelle.
He did some Fast and Furious movies too. Oh, he did Fast Furious 7.
And he did Aquaman.
Oh, he did? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he directed Aquaman.
Oh, Steroid Momoa movie. Okay, yeah. Not really interested. That's not my Aquaman is.
Yeah, but you know what? It was better than Mary Poppins Returns because it had Julie Andrews in it. Mary Poppins Returns sucked, by the way.
I didn't really plan on watching
it. I'll never find out.
You'd never need to find out. The wife and I rented it, and the original Mary Poppins and Saving Mr. Banks, both wonderful films. This one, oh man.
Hey, Hunter, I think what I'll do is I'll drag up an old Jedi Cole thing and put it on the soundboard. Meant to watch it.
Yeah. Oh man. Yesterday was Jedi Cole's birthday. I know he's not listening, but happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jedi Cole. And to reach out and connect with the man again.
I work with his brother, believe
it or not. Yes, yeah, I remember you saying, yeah. His brother's still at school. Oh, at your employ, yep. I should say. Yeah.
What? Okay.
At your employ.
Yeah. No, you see, work. He helps me out a lot. He's good people.
All right, let's get to the non-shock factor now, the rating, yeah.
I think you should go first, Stu, since you liked this. You need to set the bar.
I'm going to give it a 6.66 rating.
Ooh.
Yeah, so, no, yeah, 6.5 I'll give it. That has to be the highest of a Rob Zombie rating ever, I think.
Pretty much. John.
Shock us, John.
-0.000000003.
So rounded up to zero, right?
Yeah, pretty much. No stars, nothing. No numbers.
All right, and good.
Not worth your rating.
Garrow.
Well, I have to say the movie did have one positive. It actually inspired me for an idea for a new movie.
Yeah.
It's about the movie that inspired this. It's the movie about a failed filmmaker who is forced to watch Rob Zombie movies for a podcast, and that in turn turns him into the Joker.
Ooh. we throw the Joker into chemicals, we throw him into society, we throw him into Rob Zombie movies.
Yep. Because I feel that basically a Rob Zombie film festival could turn someone into the Joker.
I'll tell you what you do, Garrow. Mix up a bit. Have the filmmaker become the Joker by watching Rob Zombie movies for a podcast, then throwing himself into chemicals.
No. Then he actually ends up watching a couple of Democratic debates, and that's what pushes him over the edge after the Rob Zombie film festival.
Then he jumps into the chemicals after that.
But I will give this negative a billion.
Is that round?
Damn.
Round up to zero. Yeah.
Negative a billion.
Sometimes abyss stares back.
Yeah. From 1 to 10, it's a negative a billion. Easily the worst movie I saw this year, and I saw Captain Marvel, and I saw
That is really harsh. I mean, is that because people expect it off you just to automatically hate Rob Zombie movies?
No, I hated that. I'm watching this and I'm just like, this is bad. This is horrible. It is like, I mean, I think it's his worst film. I think he is. I don't know. Maybe it's not his worst film. Maybe my tolerance for his bullshit is at zero now.
I
don't know.
I think you're that far removed from 31. You've forgotten how bad it was. Cause that's bad. It was bad.
I just can't.
I gotta say, like, 31 is still the worst for me.
Yeah, me too.
You said it feels like a real movie, but it was just that one was pain to sit through. I mean, even I was like, I don't want to do another Rob Zombie movie.
Clowngasm of a film. It's all the worship of clowns. That's all it was.
Note how big studios will actually refuse to work with this guy. Because remember, Universal actually was supposed to be the original distributor of House of a Thousand Corpses.
Oh yeah,
and I think because he went around and badmouthed Universal executives for years after that got given the Lionsgate or whatever, I think that put him on a shit list.
Well, that's what it did with Halloween 2 as well. Apparently there's a 4-hour documentary going around that was meant to be slated for the home video release, which never got put on there, because he was bad mouthing the Weinsteins, which, you know, these days.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is
that'll
put him out of favor with El Gropo himself.
Oh yeah, well that guy was notoriously vindictive. He has no power now, but you know, give it a few years.
Yeah, no.
But yeah,
we had this discussion. Garrow brought this up, funnily enough, when we did the Harvey Weinstein episode, and you said, Garrow, you asked, do you think he'll ever come back? And I said no, I still stand by. I don't think he can ever come back now.
Well, what do you guys think? Let me say this. I hope he does not.
Because that's about 2 years ago that we did that one?
But look, a lot of people in Hollywood hate him, and they've hated him for a long time. But I'm still like, you know, I still always never underestimate the depravity of Hollywood. So, you know, we'll see. But
what about you, Gary? You think he will ever come back? Because you did say yes.
Here's the thing. I think that basically it all depends on how his court cases go. If he gets convicted, he's done. He's never going to come back. If he ends up coming, you know, actually winning the cases and stuff like that, I think there's a chance. I don't know if he could come back in Hollywood, but I think he'd probably go to like a different country, like maybe Italy or something, and produce movies there.
Mm. Maybe.
Why would you want to make movies in Italy these days? Eesh.
You tell you,
maybe
right.
Canada. He could probably do Canada or even Australia. But
yeah,
he won't
make it here. I'm telling you now.
He was so crappy to people in Hollywood. Like, I think they've all been just kind of waiting. You know,
they've all got the green light to hate him now. And
yeah,
and
you weren't. You had to basically let him grope you back then. But
yeah. But for a couple of months, AJ Benza was like, Javi's going to beat them charges. But I don't know about that.
Subscribe to go on Patreon.
Just go to hit the Patreon. It's like, yeah, he's going to beat them charges. And I kind of hope he does, because the movies are shit right now. It's like Harvey's going to magically produce better movies.
As though Harvey Weinstein is, you know, some man who made quality.
Yeah, I know. Movies were garbage when he and his brother were producing stuff at a great rate. It's like they just every now and then would produce one you liked, but they made a lot of shit. They made a lot of stuff they sat on and shelved.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Kung Fu movie fans have hated him forever.
Yeah, but I remember that Ewan McGregor, what was that movie? It was like Ewan McGregor and Nick Nolte, and it was like a remake of like a Dutch film or something. And the trailer ran for like 2 years, and I don't think it ever came out.
I think it was called like Night Watch, that was it.
Yeah. Right, because they kept re-releasing Scream in that movie's opening slots. They kept rebooking Scream instead. Like, and that movie, I don't know if it ever came out, but I saw the trailers for like a year.
Is that the Russian film Night Watch?
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
No, it's not the vampire action stuff. Oh. This is like he was a morgue attendant. Maybe there was a serial killer or something. You know, it was one of those trailers you can't really tell.
Yeah, it was like 97 and 98. You saw the trailer before every movie.
Hey, yeah. I need to ask you boys. I've never seen this movie, but we were talking about Scorsese before. Did any of you ever see Bringing Out the Dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any good?
Yeah, I saw that.
It's good.
It's all right.
I liked it.
Okay.
All right.
It's one of those forgotten ones.
That's one. That's one I've never seen that I've always wanted to see.
Yeah, me too. Okay,
it's got some funny stuff.
It's not like classic Scorsese, but it's good Scorsese.
Is it like After
and
Hours?
And it's adequate Nicolas Cage.
Like After Hours, sort of.
No,
not as good as After Hours.
No, I was gonna say because After Hours is a good movie. Damn good movie. God, I saw that back at the theater.
Yeah, it's not on that level. It's not close to that level. Mm. It's okay, though. It's interesting.
Okay. So, we got a request to watch Firefox. I think I might have brought it up the other episode.
Yeah, let's do it. I want to do it. I've never seen it.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. I got to look for it.
You ever seen it, Garo, Firefox?
No, I've never seen it.
Okay. Well, we'll make that one a possibility in the future. So, where does Rob Zombie go from here, film-wise? Don't say
we haven't heard what Hunter gave
it. Oh, yeah. Well,
I give it a one.
Okay, well, okay, so generous. 6.5, one, it's 7.5 divided by 4, so it's about an average of 2, nearly.
Uh.
It's like 1.75 sort of 1.8 along the board. Yeah. So what does Rob Zombie do from here? Does he do his friggin' Groucho Marx movie or what?
I think he commits suicide.
I said, what does he do besides you wanting him to go to the grave? What film, film-wise would you like to see him do?
Makes a self-snuff movie.
I don't know where. I mean, he'll probably write another. He'll probably like crowdfund some piece of crap. I don't know.
He's not going to do the Groucho Marx movie. No one's going to let him make a Groucho Marx.
Oh yeah, no.
The estate won't allow that. No. I tell you what. I said this years ago. He needs to go back and do a goddamn Tyrannosaurus Rex film.
Oh, I know you've been talking about that forever. Yeah.
Because that was based on the comic book he had, The Nail, which I want to see. Which I've read a couple of issues of, and. They'd make a good movie, I reckon. Danny Trejo's still alive. Utilize him while he's still alive. And,
Danny Trejo can barely move, though. I saw the last Machete film. He doesn't move well.
Machete Kills? I wouldn't use him. Machete Kills?
Yeah, whatever that it's was called. Terrible. Machete Smells, whatever the hell it's called.
Oh,
Machete Stinks.
Yeah. It's terrible, but it's like he looks weak when he's walking in it. You know, it's strange.
It's like Burt Reynolds in The Last Movie Star.
Yeah. It's not. It's like I wouldn't put him in anything action oriented.
Well, he was still doing that action. What was it? Dead Tombstones or something like that. Some.
I don't know. Yeah, he has some straight to video piece of shit. Every other week.
Yeah, he does.
On his taco stand in Los Angeles, he actually opened some sort of outfit like that.
Well, there's money in their Taco Hills, isn't it, for a Mexican?
Yeah. It's funny, I think I saw him playing an Italian in Death Wish 4. He's playing a mobster.
Oh, he is too, isn't he?
Yeah, it's just short hair, and it's got like a bowl cut. Strange.
Oh, that's nothing compared to Danny Trejo dancing in, what was that bloody Andy Sidaris film? I can't remember what it was.
Is it Hard Ticket to Hawaii?
Could have been, yeah. It was one of those cheap Andy Sidaris films.
It was like in Guns or one of those things.
Oh, I think it was Guns. Yeah, with Eric Estrada.
Okay, yeah, I think it is Guns.
Yeah. Danny Trejo on the dance floor. We talked about it when we had Farmer on, you know, about 45 years ago.
Oh, yeah, that was ages ago.
Whew. It was a while back. All right, anything else you boys want to bring up?
Nah, that's it for me.
Rob Zombie done for another 3 years, it looks like.
Yeah, it'll be...
No more, no more.
Well, we hope forever. Let's dare we hope that,
I will,
that
I
Rob
will,
Zombie's
I will,
tank is empty.
I honestly think next he'll do a documentary.
About what?
Manson.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, you're right. Probably.
It'll be the
and the documentary will end with him looking at a picture of Manson while jacking off.
Yeah, might as well.
Or like some letter he's had hidden away all his life, and it's from Charles Manson. It says down the bottom, "Love, Dad."
I have never understood the Gen X fascination with Charles Manson that these guys like him have.
I don't.
That's what made Once Upon a Time in Hollywood so refreshing.
Exactly.
You know, it was like, thank you.
Yes, exactly.
Well, let's do that one when it comes out on video.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, and I want to say this right now, that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's like 2 hours and 40 minutes long, and it felt felt less long than Three from Hell.
It's not hard.
I've heard some people say it feels like it's half the length. Some people say it looks like about 6 hours. I've heard polarizing views about that film. Either it's terrible or it's great.
It's exactly the type of film that's going to get polarizing views.
Because
when I was watching, I could see how this doesn't work for some people.
Right.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I liked it. Here's a little hint. I liked it better than Three from Hell. Then again, I liked every movie better than Three from Hell.
I think you like anything better than Three from Hell.
Yep. I'm just like so through with Rob Zombie and his fucking bullshit. He is just stop it.
We've said this before.
Yep.
We've got to keep driving home the message though until it gets sunk in.
Yep. I hate Rob Zombie. I think he's maybe the worst filmmaker who ever lived. I just can't take it anymore. It's like I'm getting delirious thinking about having to watch another one of his fucking movies.
Who would you rather watch, Rob Zombie or Tommy Wiseau?
Oh, Tommy Wiseau in a second. At least The Room is entertaining. The Room is
Tommy is a original voice.
Yep.
That way.
I mean, The Room is bad, but at least it's bad entertaining, you know?
I've watched this movie more times than I've watched
this. This could be the worst movie I've seen except for Con Air and maybe Marvel Civil War, whatever it's called.
I will watch this. I will watch this over that second Avengers movie any day.
Well, you know.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad film, but.
Yeah.
But.
You always have a choice to just walk outside and never watch a movie.
I still haven't seen that second Avengers film, so there you go.
It's not good.
Don't bother.
We saw it together in Dallas. Remember?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant Endgame.
No, the second one, whatever it was called.
Oh, it was horrible. Yeah, that was horrible.
That was bad.
Well, is Civil War an Avengers film or is it a Captain America movie? I can't even tell.
It's Captain America.
The only entertaining thing about the second Avengers movie was when me and Hunter went to the supermarket afterwards and saw the fat black woman on the Rascal telling her daughter off. Remember that?
Yeah.
You do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the lady's like, "Mama, you don't need that. We're just going in for some milk." Like, oh, hush, child. He gets on a Rascal and fucks off in the supermarket. That was more entertaining than the whole movie.
Yes, it was.
Oh, and the gay Tommy Chong we had as the waiter at the restaurant with Colin Catherine. Anyway.
Yeah, that was good, too.
Yeah, it was. All right. All right, well, there's nothing else.
Well, like, can I promote something?
Yes.
You got something to promote?
Yeah, I do. If you want to see a really good 70s movie, you can watch my movie, Dangerous People, which is now on Tubi. What is Tubi, you ask? It's like Netflix that's free, and it just runs some commercials through the movie. And it's on, you can get it on your computer, you can get it on your phones, you can get it on your Apple TV, you can get it on your Roku boxes, you can get it everywhere. The app for Tubi is everywhere. Now you have no reason not to watch Dangerous People. So it's free, watch it on Tubi. And then also the other thing I want to promote is that me and Hunter are going to be doing Death Stranding as the next Midnight Movie Game Boys, and that episode will be coming out before the Red Dead Redemption 2 episode.
Yeah,
don't
you
worry.
So.
Wow.
Dude, Death Stranding is going to be the most memeable game ever.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So Dangerous People's on Tubi with the Vincent Gallo films, because I think they're on there this month.
Oh, yeah, Buffalo 66. Do a double feature of Buffalo 66 and Dangerous People, please. Thank you.
What about Promises Written in Water? Is that one on there?
I don't think that's... I think the only person who's seen that is Vincent Gallo.
Yeah, and that's the way he wants it.
So
he
wants to protect it.
Can I get permission, Garrow, to take Dangerous People and make a VHS-style version of it?
What do you mean, you're going to go and add like a, what do you call it? Like fake,
wear and all that sort of stuff on it.
Yeah. Feel free to pull a whole Rob Zombie on it.
I will.
Go crazy.
I will.
You know, that's the one thing I wasn't going to do. I wasn't going to go. People were like, "You're going to put some like filters on it to make it look like a fucking 70s film." I'm like, "No, it looks like 70s film."
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it look like 70s, something you see on public access television back in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
That thing, that'll work. And
Vincent Gallo makes better 70s movies than Rob Zombie.
Oh, yeah, Buffalo 66 looks like a total fucking 70s movie.
Yeah, it really does.
So does Brown Bunny. It's real creepy how they look like 70s films.
How is that not going to release yet on home video, Brown Bunny? In the high def format, I mean.
Oh, in the high def, yeah.
Yeah.
I know Buffalo 66 on Blu-ray because I bought it immediately when it came out because I'm like, I gotta own that.
I always get that mixed up. I always get it mixed up with that damn Willem Dafoe movie he did back in the 80s called Route 60. I think it was Route 66 or John.
No,
help
66.
Me out. Huh?
Roadhouse 66 is
what that. That was that was
it's
it.
It's in Judge Reinhold.
That's it. Yeah. I was getting mixed up those ones for some reason.
Yeah, Buffalo 66. Have you? You've never seen Buffalo 66, have you, Stu?
I've never seen any of these movies.
Oh my gosh!
You know what we got to do further down the road? A Buffalo 66 episode.
Yeah, we should. It's a good app. Good. That's a great film.
Yep.
Okay, I'm on for it. If you guys can get me a hold of
plus
it.
Plus, me and Garo and I have both met him in two different occasions, so we've got stories.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, he's actually a super nice guy.
Yep.
And he beat out Ice-T in a rap contest.
When we do that episode, I got a couple of stories that pertain to that.
So can I get a request one day to do a full episode of just Garo and John Hunter and I sitting back like audience members listening about old Laser Craze boss stories? There's got to be plenty of them, right?
Yeah, we hung out with him all the time.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a great night where he started getting into tarot cards. So then I did literally a 5-hour long impression of him doing tarot card readings one night, like nonstop.
Oh my god.
Because he had like one of his friends there, so yeah. I just kept doing his. I don't think I break character for like 5 hours. I kept doing his tarot card reading, John's tarot card reading, and his friend's tarot card reading, just over and over and over again.
John, you're gonna die.
John, you see the death card? It's not really mean death. It could mean many things. It could mean something positive. You never know, but just the hangman card, that means something bad. Put that with the death card. I don't like it.
That's awesome.
I've actually heard an interview with that guy, and boy, your impressions, you two do of him, are not far from it, from what he really sounds like.
Is that the
I like the Amazon model. I don't like retail. I don't like when I.
How did I start a Stairway to Heaven? I was there. I'm like, wow. I'm listening to John and Garrow when I hear this guy.
Yeah, but he I would do impressions for him, and then he would be like, "I'm gonna give you the claw, Garrow, and he would do wrestling moves on me while I'm doing impressions of him.
God.
And then remember one time he would sell Godzilla stuff and I would sell like Hong Kong movies and we'd go to like Fangoria shows and Chiller shows together, and basically it would literally just be like me annoying him in the hotel room until we go to the convention to the point where he's like,
oh yeah, I would be trying to sleep and those two would be like fighting and shit. Carol running around the hotel room, and you see Laser Crazy's black ponytail flying around. Jesus Christ. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, those were fun times.
What was it about the Ramones, John?
What about the Ramones? Every band I listened to sounded like the Ramones.
That's right.
Ramones. I remember there was one time we were walking, I think we were walking from Newberry Street, and we were walking, and you were going to go see a Groovy Ghoulie show at T.T. the Bears, and then we get to T.T. the Bears, and you're like, I'll just hang out here, and we'll listen to the Groovy Ghoulies, like, outside, I don't have to pay, I can hear them through the wall, and he, Laser Craze guy, is, like, listening to it, and he's like, John, they sound like the Ramones.
Well, also one time I had said to Garo, I said, you notice the Laser Craze boss, and when he says something, he's kind of accentuates, you like it, like when he says like he goes real high with that word. And then the next time, I think it was after a Godzilla 2000 screening or something, Garo got into an argument with them about American Beauty or something, and Garo started imitating Laser Craze boss to his face, going, well, if you like movies, you won't like it. If you like movies, you will like it. And then Laser Craze boss started cracking up. It's really...
Where was that place located?
There was so much...
It was located on Newberry Street in Boston.
Yeah. Oh, I've been... Okay.
Yeah, it's long gone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, obviously it's long gone, but... near Newberry Comics? Is there a...
Yeah, it was near the. It was actually across the street. I think across, almost across the street from the Newberry Comics on Newberry Street.
Oh wow, okay,
yeah,
because I remember that place. I've been past there, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. I could go to Newberry Comics every day for lunch when I was working there, which was not good.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up because we got another hour. So, better get moving. So, I'm starved.
Well, we had to end on a positive note because you know we don't like to do dark. Depressing shows.
Did any just Indeed. Getting back to Three from Hell real quick towards the end? We'll give the ending away because obviously no, I don't think nobody's going to watch. And if you do, you're not really missing much. That all they did was they just walked away from the burning grave at the end. All three of them, all still alive. Is that zombie wanting to leave the door open for a fourth one, or is that him saying, you know what? If they get shot up again in the third film, this one, people are just call even more bullshit compared to what happened in the second one, and they survived it.
He's just leaving it open in case he wants some.
Yeah, that's what make I was another one. Figuring. Yeah, he's gonna make.
Yeah, he just
can Indiegogo the next one.
He just wants to torture us.
Yeah,
make more.
Hmm.
I never saw The Devil's Reject, so no, I.
You never did.
At least glad I.
Oh, we're not doing an episode.
We'll have to do that one.
I don't ever plan on seeing it because too many people say, no, but you got to try that one. But it's like, okay. That just
you'll hate it. You'll hate it. Don't
see if you don't like this, you'll hate Devil's Reject probably even more.
I probably will.
Yeah.
Just because people have told me it's good. So it's like, that automatically gives me prejudice against it.
Well, anyway, fellas, let's go ahead and put a cap on it. I'm going to go ahead and say adios.
And I'll say sayonara, yeah.
And I'll say,
yeah!
I'm a clown, motherfucker! I'm a clown!
No more. We're done.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. For more information, go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. For feedback, comments, or show suggestions, go to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like what you hear? Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Hear us on Stitcher Radio. Head over to Stitcher.com and download the app. Want to help the show out? Head on over to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Find us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Like us on Facebook. Head over to Facebook.com. Type in Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hit the like button over there. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and find the links from there on the right hand side. Thanks for listening. See you all next week.